Doug, thank you. And you know that song, we always say, based upon the words of Ephesians 5 and verse 19, that we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And if you were really listening to the words of that song, you know that it was really a declaration of our faith, but not only a declaration of our faith, but it was actually words of encouragement for others to follow Christ. Where he leads me, I will follow. Follow Jesus every day. Some time ago, someone asked me a question, and they said, is there ever a time when someone should be re-immersed or re-baptized? And I said, well, I don't know. I'll have to work up a lesson on that. And so anyway, that I have done. And I want to share this lesson with you this morning. I want you to think really very seriously about it. Because it really is important. Should one be re-immersed? And when should they? And how should they go about doing that? And just what about re-baptism? You know, we all understand the nature of baptism. I preached a sermon on baptism just a few weeks ago. But I wanted to address this subject because I think it merits even more attention than just a few words on the subject of baptism. The example of those who were re-immersed or re-baptized is found in the book of Acts chapter 19. I don't know of any other passage in all the Bible that addresses this subject, but it does address it here in the book of Acts chapter 19. Paul was in a missionary journey, and he had gone through the upper coast of Ephesus. And when he went there, he found certain disciples there, and they were concerned about their baptism. And so anyway, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, then unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is a classic example of those who were baptized but were not baptized for the right reason. They were baptized under John's baptism. John was a forerunner of the baptism of Christ. That's why he is called John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. It didn't mean that he was a member of a particular religious denomination, but that he was a baptizer. And John did baptize. The Bible says that he baptized near Enon because there was much water there. And when you go back and you look at this subject of baptism, there is this example of people who were rebaptized. Now, 30 years I've had people come to me and say, you know, I have been baptized, but I'm just not sure that I have been baptized for the right reason. I'm not sure that I was immersed and that I was thinking about the right thing when I was baptized, and so I want to do this again. But they were not baptized, those that we mentioned here in Acts chapter 19. They were not baptized for the remission of sins, and that we know is the purpose of baptism. They were baptized unto John's baptism, all right, but this required rebaptism in the book of Acts chapter 19. And that's why Paul tells them, he said, we ask the question, unto what were you baptized? They had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. When one is baptized properly, he is baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ. In the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, and by the authority of Christ, I mean that he is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that was the commission that was given to the disciples in the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning in verse 20. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, so we know that these people were re-immersed, but Christ taught that baptism was for the remission of sins. It was the way that we had our sins forgiven. You don't get your sins forgiven by just showing up down at the church house on a Sunday morning. You don't have your sins remitted by getting out there and doing a lot of great things for the kingdom of God, or perhaps helping other people in life. Those are wonderful things, and it certainly is attestation to the fact that you love God and you love people. But Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Now, I want you to look at this just a minute. If I could diagram, I'm no English teacher, but I do know a little bit about diagramming a sentence. Now, if you notice, he who believes and is baptized, and is a conjunction, it ties two things together. And in this case, believing and being baptized actually are tied together, and the direct object is what? Will not be condemned. Now, that's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? Baptism is for the remission of sin. Listen to what he says here on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter. He said unto them, to their question, "Many brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus upon your penitent attitude." That is the attitude that says, I want to change. I want to do what God wants me to do. It doesn't help a person to just simply get him water and get wet. That's not going to save your soul. But when one believes and one is penitent, then he is to be immersed in water. Baptism is for the remission of sins. For in the book of Acts 22 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that Ananias, a preacher of the gospel, was preaching to this man named Saul of Tarsus, who later became the great evangelist Paul. And he had been fasting for 3 days, he'd been praying, but he still had his sin. Now, I know he still had his sin, it had not been removed, because Ananias says to him, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In other words, baptism was the very agent by which our sins are forgiven. And it is therein, that act of baptism, that one reaches the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some things that you need to know about baptism to answer that question. Do I need to be rebaptized? And is it possible that maybe I didn't fully understand what I was doing when I was baptized? The reason I say that is the fact that there are many people that are mistaken about the purpose and the authority and the mode and the when. I know that's a lot of questions, and I'm going to try to address those here within 30 minutes. Should I get baptized, or should I be rebaptized? What about all of that? What does the Bible really teach? It teaches, first of all, that you need to understand the correct mode of baptism. In our Bible class this morning, we were talking about baptism, and the Greek word for baptism is baptismo, which actually, or baptisma, which actually means to immerse in water. It nullifies the concept of sprinkling water on a baby's head. It nullifies the idea of pouring water on a child. But the only true mode of baptism, according to the Bible, is an immersion in water. In other words, when you are baptized, you are lowered into water and you are raised up out of that water. Why is it not biblical to baptize an infant? Well, I can tell you, first of all, he does not like it. I wouldn't like it if I were a baby, would you? But anyway, there are some people that baptize in this way, or they baptize by throwing water on someone, and they say, "Well, he's been baptized." Well, not scripturally, not really. Therefore, we are buried, Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. What's that immersion? Did you know that the American Standard Version uses the word immersion to clarify any doubt about what baptism is really all about? That's why our baptistry stays ready day and night. Last Monday afternoon, I had the opportunity to visit with Addie Schottel. Addie was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And she is here this morning, by the way. And I'm so thankful that she made that commitment unto Christ. She understood what it was, what she was doing, how she was doing it, and why she was doing it. There was no question. She was being buried with Christ in baptism unto death, or into death, just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and she began her walk in newness of life. And notice that the newness of life does not come until one has been properly baptized. That's true. You don't experience newness of life again because you show up down at the church house and you sing the songs of praise and you take the Lord's Supper and all those kinds of things. Hey, the Bible tells us there's one thing that takes away our sin, that's the blood of Christ, and it occurs in that act of baptism. But what about rebaptism? Not only should it be the correct mode, but it should be by the correct authority. Now, whose authority are we talking about? The church's authority? No. Some churches think that they are the ones that have the authority, authoritarians, to make decisions about what they think. There are some people that would not let you join their denomination until you are baptized in their denomination. Now, that's not biblical. Nowhere in the Word of God does the Bible ever teach that. It does teach, however, that we are to be baptized. It doesn't make any difference where you're baptized, whether you're in a cattle tank, whether you're in a pond, whether you're in a swimming pool. I don't know where they all were baptized on the day of Pentecost. The Bible doesn't say. But probably in some river through Jerusalem, or maybe a pond. We know that with the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, and he's riding along in the chariot, and he's been preached to by Philip, and he said, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And he said, "If you believe, you may." They both went down into the water. Isn't that interesting? If water being poured on your body or water being sprinkled on your head were baptism, why would they go down into the water? They went down into the water because they understood what baptism actually is and that it was by the authority of Jesus Christ. They had been baptized, those in Acts chapter 19, had been baptized by the authority of John the Baptist under John's baptism. And isn't it interesting that they wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus under the authority of Jesus Christ our Lord? Denominations actually baptized by the authority of their denomination. There are some religious groups that actually believe that baptism could be administered under some baptismal font up here, and they take water and put it on a baby's head, or they pour water on his body, and they call that baptism. But according to the Word of God, that is not baptism. You can call it. It's like you can call yourself a Christian. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. You can call yourself a citizen of the United States of America, but that doesn't mean that you got here legally. We got a lot of illegals in our country. So baptism must be done, and that is what we advocate. If you read the Bible, it must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. It must be authorized to save the lost. That is the purpose of it, folks. Authorized baptism is approved by God, and it is acceptable unto God. And it is the only baptism that we read of in the Bible that will save you. John's baptism didn't save. John was a forerunner of Christ. He was the one of whom Isaiah, the great messianic prophet, spoke in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. when he talked about there is one who is coming. Jesus even said it. There is one coming after me. And it was one, or John, and so Jesus did come after him, just like the Bible teaches. Listen to Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. They must be taught. That's why I tell you, I'm very careful to make sure that before I immerse someone into water baptism, that they understand what they are doing and why they are doing it. Because we have a lot of people today that say, well, I don't even remember why I was baptized. I was telling them in our Bible class this morning, not long ago, I asked a young fellow, I said, were you ever baptized? And he said, oh yeah, I was baptized when I was 8 days old. And I said, 8 days old? He said, yes. And he said, but I didn't know anything about it. And you know, isn't it interesting that Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized, direct object, what? Shall receive forgiveness of his sin. And there is no mistake about it. We need to understand what the Bible teaches about baptism even more. And things that really indicate a baptism for another reason. You know, if you're baptized for any other reason than for the remission of sin, you were baptized for the wrong reason. When you are asked, think about this one now, and there are a lot of denominations that teach this. When you are asked to confess that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you of your sins, and most people do. They respond, preacher, ask them the question, do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven your sin? Naturally, you're going to say yes. That's what most people say. But what you're saying is the very opposite of why one is baptized and why he becomes a Christian. Consider this. What you're saying here is that you confess Christ and you were saved, and then you were baptized. When you were asked to confess that God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven your sin, you're saying, hey, I have no sin. I'm just baptized to be a member of that church. You are not baptized, folks, just to be a member of a religious body. Nowhere does the Word of God teach that. When those who are baptized who wait for several days. Think about this a moment. And it's kind of a little pet peeve thing that with me, and it bothers me, really troubles me. That sometimes when people come up to the front of the building and want to be baptized, and maybe a preacher says to them, well, you know, we'll baptize you all right. You're saved right where you are, but We'll get a bunch of people together one day and we'll have a baptizing. In other words, we'll wait maybe for 3 months and then we'll baptize you. When someone tells you that, you better run, because what they're saying is that you're already saved short of you being baptized. They were not worried about you dying. They think you're saved because you believe, whether you've been baptized or not. But that is the attitude of a lot of people. They get a bunch of folks together and they baptize them all at one time. Well, I've told you many, many times, our baptistry is always ready. It's warm, the garments are available, and when a person makes that decision to become a child of God, we baptize him immediately. That's why when someone comes forward in our assembly, we baptize them right then. We don't wait 3 months to baptize somebody. I would be saying the same thing that they'd been taught wrong, that you're already saved. You don't need to be baptized. If you were not baptized by the authority of Jesus, then you are not saved by Jesus. And if you were not baptized for the remission of sins and only to join a church, yes, you need to be rebaptized. Now, that brings me to another question here, and that is, what about the correct purpose? The purpose of it. You know, everything has a purpose. Even Solomon said that in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a purpose. And people ask the question, why do you folks baptize? Why do you immerse them in water? Simply because Christ taught it. Some teach that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, that one is baptized because he's already saved. A lot of people believe that. That's a simplistic view, however, of something that people call baptism that is not baptism at all. Some teach that baptism is the means by which one becomes a member, like I said, of their denomination. You can't be a part of their denomination. A very influential individual a few years ago came to me, and I had studied with him, and we talked to him about the Lord's Church, and he ended up going to a denomination. And he says, well, he says, we're visiting this denomination. And I said, you are? And he said, yes. And he said, they're telling me that I have to be baptized in their particular denomination for me to go there and be there. And I said, what did you tell me? So I told him I was not going to do it. And he said, about 3 weeks later, they came to him and told me they'd take me in the back door. I thought to myself, you know, who are we to pass judgment? Another thing that some people do in an assembly is if one comes forward, the church is asked to vote on that individual as to whether or not he is a candidate to be a member of that church. We don't do that. Why? Because nowhere does the Bible authorize me to sit in judgment over another individual who has a relationship with God. I don't know what was said. I don't know why he was baptized. If he was baptized for the remission of sins, he's been baptized properly. But if he was not baptized for the right reason, then yes, he needs to be re-baptized. A person is not saved merely by believing in God, like a lot of people teach. Let me tell you why I know that's true. For the devils tremble at the name of Jesus, according to the book of James 2 and verse 19. Listen to what the scripture says. You do well to believe in God. Satan also believes and trembles. So the devils believe, but because they believe in Jesus, are they going to heaven? No. Nowhere does the Word of God ever teach us that one who believes and is not baptized is going to heaven. The Bible just doesn't teach that. Isn't it interesting in every apostolic sermon that when people heard the message of Christ, they wanted to do it then? Have you ever thought about the book of Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas had been in prison and for preaching and teaching the Word of God and casting out a demonic spirit out of a young woman, of whom people were using as merchandise to make money? And anyway, the Bible teaches us that when they were released from prison, the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He asked the question. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. He hadn't been baptized for the remission of sins. He'd not been immersed. And he had not done it under the authority of Christ. And he asked him the question, what must I do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he told Saul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know when he did it? He didn't do it at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. He didn't do it at a church assembly at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But he did it at midnight, the Bible says. At midnight. Why would he move with such urgency? Because he understood there was a possibility of death between him and being baptized. Never do you ever find anywhere Jesus ever told anyone. You go home and think about it. If it's plausible, do it. If you don't think you need to, don't do it. No, Jesus never said that. And that brings me to a question, and it really centers around this thing of rebaptism. Why are there so many churches? You ever wondered that? Have you ever really wondered why there are so many differing denominations? Over 1,000. I can remember as a child, there were over 350. Today, there are over 1,000 differing denominations. They're one Bible, just one, but many churches. Somewhere people miss the way. They won't miss it from this pulpit. I'm not trying to be arrogant, conceited. I'm just telling you that I am not going to preach and teach something that is not found in the Word of God. Amen. You see, James said, "Be ye not many masters, knowing you shall receive the greater condemnation." And if the Bible teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins, and that is precisely the message that I will preach. Now I want you to look at this up here. Some people say you don't have to be baptized. They asked me, they said, "How you feel about that?" And I said, "No, you don't have to be baptized if you don't want to go to heaven." This statement's true. But if you want to go to heaven, you want to be baptized. You want to be baptized with the right mode, immersion. You want to be baptized by the right authority of Jesus Christ our Lord. And you want to be baptized for the right purpose. That's why Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Strive to enter into the straight gate. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way." We got people today that say, you know, and I guess it's kind of a carryover from our government to be so inclusive. We've got a lot of people that teach today that you can be saved in Islam. You can be saved in Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. But our only hope this morning, my friend, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said in John the 6th chapter, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." And church after church and denomination after denomination are walking in the ways of the world and men and not in the ways of God. If in your heart you feel that you have not been baptized for the right reason, then you should be baptized for the right reason. Jesus said, "In vain do some worship him, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." I told our Bible class this morning, I went to see, it was called the Lord's Supper. It was put on by the Chosen. And it really amazed me because I had seen some of their videos actually on television I thought were good. But I was watching this one last night, and there were so many inadequacies in what they were teaching. I thought to myself, why are they doing this? Why wouldn't they just tell the truth about it? Instead of trying to dramatize a movie, why not teach the truth? Then God would be honored, and souls would be given instruction. The correct purpose for baptism is very simple. The Bible teaches that baptism is the only way to have our sin forgiven. That's pretty simple, like I said. Only way. Not, he didn't give part, you know, maybe A or plan B or some alternate plan. He didn't do that. If one was baptized for any purpose other than to have his sins washed away, he needs to be re-immersed. You need to be, I tell people, think about Jesus, what he did. We need to have it in our mind what we are doing when we go down into that water of baptism. And I always explain it to all of those who are candidates for New Testament baptism, just like I did with Addie the other day. And I said, "Addie, you've been taught well. You know the truth. And I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins." Isn't it interesting that the message was so simple on the day of Pentecost that thousands responded to the preaching of the apostles, to become Christians, repenting and being baptized. And the Bible says that when they repented and they were baptized, they were added to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. But some people ask, if I sin, do I need to get baptized again? No, not necessarily. If you didn't understand what you were doing when you were baptized, I would tell you yes. But we sometimes are like Simon in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, Simon the sorcerer. When he sinned against God after becoming a Christian shortly after, but he repented and he was told to pray that the thought of his heart might be forgiven him, and that he did. You can read about it in Acts 8, 18 through 23. And like Simon the sorcerer, Simon proved that his heart was not right in the sight of God. He tried to purchase the power of the Holy Spirit, verse 21. He was thus instructed to repent of his wickedness and then pray God that his heart might be forgiven. It is important when we repent of our sins and pray for forgiveness when we err, James chapter 5. If we don't change it, listen, your baptism doesn't validate anything. But did you know that when one is baptized properly and for the right reason, that his name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? And let me tell you something about why that book is so important. Your soul salvation will be hinging on whether or not your name is written in that book. For John says in Revelation chapter 20 that whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I hope I've helped you answer your question. Do I need to be baptized again? No, not if you've been baptized for the right reason. But you must be the correct subject to do it. No one can be baptized for you. You are the only one who can be baptized for you. People try to baptize for the dead, which is just stupid, folks. Can't do it. Baptism is for penitent believers. No belief, no baptism, no repentance, no baptism, no confession of faith, no baptism. Do I need to be rebaptized? This is something you must consider. And I hope this morning that you will. Three important questions in closing. How do I know if my first baptism was biblical? Were you baptized based upon the authority of Christ? What was done at your baptism? What was done when you were baptized? When were you baptized? Were you baptized when you came to know Jesus, or did you wait 3 months to do it and throw your soul in jeopardy with God? And why were you baptized? If you don't have a ready recollection of why you were baptized, then perhaps you need to do it again and do it for the right reason. For if your baptism lacked the correct mode, immersion, or the correct authority in the name of Christ, or the correct purpose for remitting sin, or the correct confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then maybe, just maybe, rebaptism is something you should consider. And it's your next step. And it's a step that God has called upon you to make. I have fulfilled my journey this morning. It's up to you. While we stand and while we sing.